is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Go outside, get off the couch, get out in, from out in front of a screen, go live life, because that's where we're at. Go live life. Love your friends, love your neighbors. Take care of those around you. Because the system as we know it, it's been hijacked, it's been rigged, it's over. There's really nothing that's going to happen until it implodes on itself. Love the people closest around you. That's what life is about. There's some murderous monsters that think that they're God, that go run for political office, achieve power, to stroke their own egos because of some deal they've made within themselves. It's asinine. It's ridiculous. Don't live your life because of another man's sin. Live your own life and follow love. We're in the studio tonight, Birmingham, Alabama. My name is S.M. Gibson. This is Anti-Media Radio. It is January the 7th, 2016. Joining the studio tonight, as always, is our producer, Shannon Madden, and Kevin Knight. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing tonight?
Wonderful.
Doing great.
Good to be now, happy. I will say one thing. If it's super, super, extremely cold outside, you don't have to get off the couch. You just have the couch in the heat. I give you permission. Let's go.
I guess it does depend on your location.
Our location is in Alabama. A frequent, one of my favorite frequent topics of Alabama politics is our good old buddy Roy Moore. Roy Moore is
made national headlines a few times.
Yes, and he is back to making national headlines today. However, this is a curious story. And where, I don't know, I wanted to kind of start the night off, since it's kind of light and breezy tonight, kind of start the night off with this little nugget. As you all know, or if you don't know, some of our listening audience, Roy Moore is one of the reasons that Alabama still continues to be kind of 10, 20 years behind everybody else when it comes to a lot of things. Roy Moore has been famous for making sure that a big, giant, huge two-ton marble or granite or whatever was made out of Ten Commandments made its way down to the dais of the Supreme Court and was removed in a big lawsuit and all this other stuff. And then he came back and he ran for office, a very, very hard right leanings. Now he's still Chief of the Supreme Court, Chief Justice here in Alabama. Yay, which is unfortunately a position that you're elected for. Is gone back on the national front again because he has now issued. And bear in mind, Alabama's kind of already been through this. We've kind of quietly accepted, gay marriage, gay couples in Alabama are able to marry. Now, at first, there was a lot of foot dragging involved. There were some counties that completely opted out. You had basically they've said no, we're not going to issue any marriage licenses whatsoever, which I really don't think that they have the right to issue a marriage license to begin with.
It's so ridiculous.
We'll get into that part of the discussion a little bit later. I think we've all been on record as far as how we feel about that.
The government needs to give you permission to love.
But here's the funny thing about all of this. At the same time that here, after we've kind of gently accepted it, all the rigmarole's kind of died down a little bit. Suddenly, it gets reignited out of nowhere by Roy Moore himself, issuing a order for all of the probate judges in all the counties in Alabama to stop issuing marriage licenses. There have been some counties that have shrugged their shoulders. It's like, no, we're not. We've kind of been ordered by the federal court to do it. We're going to go ahead and do it. No big deal. No offense to anybody, but if you want to go ahead and push the issue, then we'll put it back before federal court and see how this plays out. A few of the counties have actually relented. These were counties that were predominantly right wing to begin with. Here's the funny part. The only reason that all of this fired back up out of nowhere was because Roy Moore's son was involved in a little bit of a criminal incident. And was at the scene, or actually police responded to a call of a break-in.
Not the first time.
Not the first time. And we'll go back into that here in just a minute. What his son does, his son's 25 years old. What his son does, and his
to be fair, his son's not an elected official.
No, it should not be a reflection on his father. Kids involved in drugs. I believe they found prescription medication on it, things like that. And look, we all have those family members, and we have friends with those family members. That one shady guy that's always a ne'er-do-well and always getting high, getting in trouble. That's not a reflection on Roy Moore per se. But the timing of all of
it's magical.
The reignition of the nationally recognized, and it's making national headlines about our new fight against gay marriage, marriage equality, and so on and so forth, is actually a cover up for this little podunk local story, because all of the hard left is going to point a harder finger at Roy Moore. But you don't even know how to control your own son.
If that's really what he's doing, like, you have to be well done to this guy, because he's willing to take
the timing,
the bullet,
I'm not
keep his kid out of the news.
I'm not a tinfoil hat.
You really think he's doing that?
Of course he is.
You think he would just screw with people that much?
Well,
to keep his son out of the news.
Kevin and myself actually had a conversation online earlier, and I brought up the example of Bill Clinton in Kosovo.
Well.
So,
well played.
Man, tell me about those days.
So, we have seen, and those two stories do tie in together, even though they're two completely different stories, a completely different set of parameters, we are talking about Alabama. We're talking about hard right Roy Moore. It's all about saving face with that. And say preserving the family name. He's already bailed him out of trouble once.
Okay, explain that part of the story. This has happened before his kid
Me with my pants down on that one, because there was.
There was a prior instance where his kid got in trouble before, I think.
It may have been a DUI related
something,
or was caught with pot, or something.
And it was coincidentally, all of a sudden, Roy Moore's back in the news doing something crazy.
Yeah, and of course, the headlines, the local headlines in that particular case, were kind of daddy.
You don't think that's coincidental?
Kind of wagging his finger at the justice system, basically saying that there's some sort of conspiracy going on to smear my family name. Anytime you hear something like that, then right off the bat, you know that there's...
Yeah, that's pretty shady. But, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's coincidence.
Maybe.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
But...
a lot of coincidences in that fashion. We can go through all those coincidences tonight or any other night, you know.
I guess we can... go ahead and expound upon the fact that a man who has sought high political office within a state is, whether it's to cover up a story about his son or not cover up a story about his son, you know, whatever that's about, he, I don't want to say reject law, because I think a lot, I don't think rejecting law is this, you know, grievous sin, especially the way you get it on both sides, completely different from each other, but you better respect this law. I'll never respect that law, or I'm going to respect
this.
It's
not his job.
Right, whether it's the Second Amendment.
All the laws impartially and fairly, and if he can't do that, he needs to be removed.
So I don't have a problem with him disrespecting the law as such. But it's so obscene to think that the government has the ability to issue a sheet of paper to acknowledge your love for another person. Okay, so then you go into the legal realm of it, which, why is there even a discussion of that to begin with? Why does a person get certain rights because they got the sheet of paper? We should live in that world where you get rights because you're doing this or that or the other. So the whole theory of a marriage license is ridiculous.
Go back and look at the history of why marriages
from top to bottom
are even a thing to begin with. That's a fascinating story. It actually has to do with interracial marriages and the prevention of interracial marriage.
Well, great work, everybody.
Yeah.
Make America great.
Yeah, that's how marriage licenses came into existence in America, was to prevent and curb, pretty much publicly shame, people that were going to get married interracially. And that's when the government was able to decide, or was first given the right to decide who could get married and who couldn't. And it was largely due to the fact that they weren't blood related, and, you know, blood related, like, you know, brother, sister, or first cousin, I guess. You know, there's a lot of other examples of that in states like Alabama.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Being a member of my wife is Hispanic. She's from Mexico, and I was not aware exactly. I heard that argument made, you know, that about the licenses trying to dissuade or against interracial marriages. I got to looking and was a little surprised to find out that although it had been, you know, legally on the books, but Alabama was actually the last state to pass a constitutional amendment recognizing. Just that. And of course, you know, again, it had been going on for quite some time. But it's funny that Alabama citizens have been approached several times about actually passing an amendment, officially recognizing it, and took up, if I'm not mistaken, up until 2000 before at least the political, the footwork could be done to actually confirm that. But yeah, it is interesting. And so again, like you said, we shouldn't have to be asking for permission to exercise a right.
No, we shouldn't. I mean, people have to get this thought, like, if you get nothing from any of the moronic things that come out of my mouth, please understand that the government is not God. That means the government doesn't dictate morality. Whether you believe that gay marriage is this horrible, horrific thing that's the destruction of society, or you're just like, you know, whatever, who cares? Either way, the government has no business being involved. Whether you're talking about drug laws, morality, because people are getting hooked on Oxycontin. Where's that coming from? That's legal. Mm-hmm. So, whatever, That's the thing that's insane to me is no matter which side of the issue you take on so many issues that the right and left get so wrapped up in, why is the government involved to begin with? Why? Who do they think they are? Who does the government think they are to tell people you can love this person and you get extra rights if you love that person?
But if you love that person over there, oh, you might as well.
You get that, if you've got that plant, we're coming for you. Mm-hmm. You got that pill, that's okay. We approve that. We made a little bit off of that one. Mm-hmm. So you just keep taking them pills.
And the bad thing
but
is.
But you better not have that plant.
They can make a little bit off the plant, too.
Like they don't. I want to go ahead and bring on our wonderful writer, Miss Claire Burnish. Claire, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well tonight. How are you?
Oh, I can complain, but I won't.
Well, hi, Miss Claire. How you been?
I've been pretty good. It's been interesting lately, but, you know, I mean, things are just going nuts in general.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, like which subject? Because there are, you know, there's no end to the possibilities.
The world's burning. Pick your fire and talk about it.
Well, one thing that we were talking about off air before the show was the situation going on in California with the dangerous gas leak.
Yeah, this is a bit of insanity, I will say. First of all, it started on October 23rd, this methane leak. I think everybody probably knows about it, but a bit of background that methane is pumped or it's drilled out of the ground at various places in the country during the summertime, and it's stored in vacated underground places where there used to be oil. So they put methane where oil used to be, and then they pump it out during the colder months for people to use basically as heating and, you know, things like that. And this facility, at least Aliso Canyon in California, is, I believe, the second largest underground storage facility for methane in the country, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a really old, it's been used since the 70s, but this well, I guess, cracked somewhere below 8,000 feet under the ground. And it's spewing out methane with the force of a volcano, and it's unstoppable. They tried to stop it using cement and a bunch of other things that would be typical for them to use when this happens, and nothing worked. So they don't think that they're going to be able to stop it until springtime, if then. In the meantime, methane is just spewing out from this. The article that I just did has a counter on it for how much methane has been leaked, and the equivalent of that in gas and carbon dioxide, and how much money that would have been. Right now, it's over $12 million that's leaked out.
Wow.
So it's just going and going, and there are residents in the area have largely evacuated, but Southern California Gas, who is responsible for this, has been, like, they've kind of fumbled the effort to relocate people and get them housing outside of the area. So that's been a big mess, and there are a bunch of lawsuits, of course. People are feeling the effects of it, even though the company is insisting that, you know, there will be no long-term health effects. That's kind of up in the air. People aren't really sure for this much methane, like, what the health effects will really be. And there was a town hall meeting in Porter Ranch, which is the community that's closest. It's less than 2.5 miles away from where the leak is. And in this town hall meeting, there were doctors that spoke about it and said, basically, get the hell out. If you can get out, get out. Pets are developing respiratory problems. People are developing respiratory problems. There's incidence of asthma has been on the increase. And now, finally, Governor Brown has declared a state of emergency. But it took him this long. Like I said, the leak started on October 23rd, and it's been spewing like this the entire time. So nobody's really very happy.
But thankfully, the people with all the money and everything to lose have said there's nothing to be worried about.
So, right. I'm breathing it in now. I'm fine. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was really funny, too, that, you know, the company has said a couple times that there's nothing to worry about. It's okay. You know, they said that the county health officials said there would be no long-term health effects. And then the county health officials came out and said, we don't know if there's going to be long-term health effects. So, you know, nobody really knows anything. Information is not very forthcoming, as usual, which happens in disasters like this. part of the problem is that with methane, there's very often radon and benzene associated with the methane. So, you know, radon is not good at all. It's the second leading cause of lung cancer. Benzene is just a terrible, noxious substance that has all sorts of bad health effects. So, you know, anything could happen at this point. So.
Well, let's, you know, we got Fukushima. Let's think about the story that I know Kerry wrote last year about the leak that they had in California that destroyed all kinds of stuff and all these people have gotten cancer. But they care about us. But they care about us. They love us.
I mean, and then there's the thing in Missouri, too. Like, that's inside, I believe it's inside the city limits of Missouri. It's near the airport where somebody illegally dumped atomic weapons waste from the Manhattan Project outside the city, you know.
That sounds fantastic. Let's just dump all this atomic waste everywhere.
The facility where it's stored wasn't supposed to store this stuff. And, of course, it's right next to a regular dump that's no longer used. And the regular dump caught fire underground, and this nuclear dump, it has been leaking radioactive, you know, substance for 42 years. And now this underground fire is going to reach the radioactive waste, and nobody knows what's going to happen. I mean, let's just trash the entire country, you know?
You should. Vote for Donald Trump, let it go up in flames, burn it down, over.
Now we know why Mexico is going to actually build that wall, and they're going to pay to build it.
I don't blame Mexico for building that wall after what's going to happen.
Trump's worried about people coming in. He should be building the wall to keep us in.
That's what walls
here,
are for.
Because everybody's going to be wanting
That's
to leave.
What walls are for. That's what that wall will eventually be for. It will be to keep the peasants of the United States of America inside their little cage. That will be the end result of that.
That was my thought, too. I just see the wall. A wall does not work one way.
Oh, no. Walls work two ways, and people forget that. Because there will be a day that comes where people are like, I've had enough of this. I'm getting out. Oh, you can't. Because there's the Great Wall of Trump down on the border. You're not going.
Well, I mean, look at, they're already going to require passports to fly in certain areas.
You're doing it here. You have to have a star on your driver's license or go get a passport just to go to another state.
A star on your driver's license is almost about like having to go get a passport.
It is. It's the same thing.
And there's a bunch of states now, too, where the TSA just said that they're going to give them a little bit more time, but they're not going to accept certain licenses from certain states that don't meet the requirements. So certain people aren't even going to be able to travel domestically on a plane.
Land of the free, except to travel or
fish,
do anything really, basically. You can't get married. Nothing. Land of the free, asterisk. And they think Barry Bonds is an asterisk by his name. Jeez Louise.
So what else is going on, Claire? How you been? Let's talk about wrestling. I'm really defying the urge to talk about wrestling tonight. And just saying,
I don't know if I can talk about wrestling. unless you're talking about like wrestling between Saudi Arabia and Iran and all that craziness.
Yeah.
Apparently Saudi Arabia has destroyed Iran's embassy in Yemen. Is that correct?
Yes, but I haven't caught up on it lately. But when the reports first came out, that was unconfirmed. And there was evidence on one side that had definitely happened, the embassy had definitely been attacked, then the other side was saying, no, we haven't seen anything, what are they talking about? So,
and see, this is a situation where I think there's a lot of people that, you know, they hear all the terrible stories about Saudi Arabia, they know their influence and their pull and their propaganda, and same with the United States, and they're kind of have to, you know, reiterate Saudi's story, but Iran is just as bad. Like, Iran will just say some crazy stuff. So Saudi Arabia will just say some crazy stuff. Now, here in the United States, when Saudi Arabia says some crazy stuff, we act like that's, you know, the gospel. But it's not. They're just, you know, making up lies to protect themselves. But Iran does the exact same thing. So we're talking about two different people here that's just willing to throw propaganda at each other. And I think there's going to actually have to be evidence come out, at least for me, to go, okay, I see where this went, where this didn't go. Because, of course, I think, well, of course Saudi Arabia would do that, but Iran would do it. Like, they would say some nonsense.
Two crazy neighbors.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's any country, really, at this point. would quite possibly do the same thing, given the tensions they've already had
for thousands of years. I mean, you know, really, and again, that's why it cracks me up when I hear a lot of people that are pro America having its military presence in the Middle East. Well, if we pull out now, there's going to be destabilization in the area. Well, when was that area stable?
Right.
I mean, really.
It was more stable before we got there.
It was much more stable before we got
there.
I'm
sure Saddam Hussein would agree with you if he were still around.
Or Gaddafi.
Yeah.
Well, you know, very few people want to actually, when they talk about the Middle East, very few people want to go back and as far back as the 1950s when we started the overthrow and giving our support to various dictatorships and revolutions.
Speaking of Iran.
Right. And we only want to go back. Most Americans, I'd say, are probably less knowledgeable about that than much more than even the American Revolution, of course. I'd say that's even probably a tie. They may know a little bit more than that now that we're starting to hear. Some of us, anyways, are starting to become aware that this whole shell game has been a long standing in the Middle East.
There's a story that came out today. And Claire, I want to get your thoughts on this. It just made me so angry for probably all the wrong reasons. U.S. made cluster bombs used by Saudi-led coalition in Yemen attacks. And it's come out from the Human Rights Watch is who's reporting this. The reason that makes me so angry is, do we need that headline? Like, why does not everyone already know common knowledge? We've sold billions of dollars in arms to this country. Like, that's like, we have to, like, connect the links for people, and then they still ignore it?
Yeah, and actually, I think I wrote last year at some point a while back about the cluster bombs being used.
Right.
I mean,
this is something...
Yeah, this
is something that we have known for so long.
It's been going on forever. I wrote about it in June. I wrote an article specifically about it in June 2nd.
Wow.
We talked about it on the show, and I believe with you shortly after that.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's so it's an insulting headline. Like, really? Like, I don't know that already? You know, run a headline that the sky is blue tomorrow if you're telling me that the U.S. is involved in Yemen getting blown away. No kidding, is it really?
6 months after the fact.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we're backing, like, the Saudi coalition in Yemen, and they just bombed, I mean, they bombed and targeted hospitals and residences and civilian, you know, installations and all sorts of things. They just bombed a center for the blind. They bombed the Chamber of Commerce, a wedding hall.
And here's the thing,
hall.
Targeting.
I mean,
targeting is the key word, too, Claire.
Right.
Targeting,
yeah, exactly.
Not accidental.
Yeah, these are not accidental things that are happening. This does not keep happening on accident. Once, maybe once. This has happened. They have bombed in Yemen alone over 100 healthcare facilities.
But you got to remember too, you're going to have Stockholm Sam next door tell you, "Well, I bet you they had some Al Qaeda's in them hospitals."
That should have been harboring them terrorists.
There shouldn't have been. I bet you there had some bad brown people in there. So what you're telling me is that it's cool to just, you know, blow away 46 kids because that one bad guy's in there. Are you that scared? Like, if you're that scared, go kill yourself.
Well, you know, here's another thing, honestly, because, and not that this would really matter in anything anymore, but according to the rules of engagement, like, I know that from Médecins Sans Frontières that if they are going to hit a hospital, if they think that somebody is inside the hospital, they are required to give them fair warning inside the hospital so that they can at least take cover. And they've never done that.
No, they haven't. And I know even when the you covered it very well, the story in Afghanistan with the Doctors Without Borders and us bombing them, and Saudi's done that repeatedly, by the way, in Yemen. The United States, it completely appears, knew what they were doing, but at least they were, the human right, or the Doctors Without Borders was on the phone with the Pentagon. You know, I think Saudi doesn't even give people the opportunity to give their case. It's just, you're gone.
Off your head.
That's it. All those beheadings, though. But they're so sane and civilized.
Yet again, we brought this point up before, they seem to be becoming more of an ally to the U.S. than Israel ever probably was.
I know. Yeah. What's up with that?
And you think is it the? You think this is mostly well, the course. Military industrial
money, money, money?
Yeah, I mean, because
cancel
it's not,
everything around the cream. It's the money, dollar, dollar bill, y'all. It's Wu-Tang Clan.
With Israel, you know, you had not only the military industrial doing what it does, but you had the quote unquote Jewish lobby and in some of your larger organizations. But you had a large contingency of American conservatives. That also back then.
See, here's the thing, though, too, about the two different things. And okay, Israel, if you look at it from certain parameters, it makes sense. They, you know, it was created because of the situation, you know, because of Hitler and the Germans. Don't talk about the war. And you have that situation, a lot of oppression, and then you have
all the war and defended
right, and you have the conservative right, the biblical connotations that go along with that. So I at least see some sense along that path. When you talk about Saudi Arabia and it aligning with them, they follow them to the hilt like they follow Israel, except Saudi Arabia are all the crazy bad Muslims that they're telling you to be scared of.
Right.
They're beheading people in the streets. No big deal. They do what they want. Gay people, oh, yeah, we'll kill them. Woman, don't drive out. Screw you. You know, do what they want, when they want. Killed thousands of civilians in Yemen. No big deal.
It's sponsoring. It's sending Wahhabists.
It doesn't make sense. At least I get where they got on the path of
Israel. Right.
But Saudi Arabia, no. It makes no sense.
Who's cheering on this partnership? That's what I'm curious is who exactly is...
Well, both sides, obviously. Both sides. I mean...
At least from the U.S., it's not the American people that are... I don't know anybody that's standing up right now that has a stand for Saudi Arabia tag on their...
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, but you see, like, the Bushes? They've done it? I mean, good gosh. I mean...
I have a gem for you that probably didn't, you know, nobody probably knows about. I think he's a congressman in California named Travis Allen, introduced the California-Israel Commerce Protection Act, and this is from his post. It says, it calls on California to divest from companies that boycott Israel. And this is fun, too, because I went on there and basically called him out for what I thought was ridiculous because, you know, it's everybody's right to affect boycotts if they want to, and it's completely unconstitutional to target one certain type of business just for that. And of course, he blocked me from the page. So
that's great.
You know, these lawmakers don't even want to face opposition; like they can't even handle criticism.
Here's a really good question, Claire. How do people choose what to be angry about anymore? When
that's a good question.
Yeah. It's everything. Oh, this one guy did this one horrible thing. It's like that exact same day there were probably 100 guys doing 100 horrible things.
Kill his family.
Yeah.
Well, there's another horrible thing that I discovered today, too, that, like, this video, there's a video that came out of Madaya, Syria. This little town has been surrounded and blocked from getting food since October. They've been eating leaves and grass.
I saw that.
And, I mean, it is literally one of the most, I don't know, I don't even know how to describe it, but the video went insanely viral on Facebook in 22 hours. It had 29 million views. And
it's like Adele was singing on that tape.
There was enough pressure because that many people saw the video that the UN forced, like, they're going to go in and give them aid. But the thing is, they say they're going to try to do it as soon as possible, basically. But I guess... And I think I'm going to try to look into doing an article on this because I heard from some comments that it's happening elsewhere, too. They're now using starvation as a weapon of war. I mean...
That's it!
That's been a weapon for, you know, cutting off towns and areas and basically suffering them to isolation and starving them out has really been a long tactic in war. So I'm not surprised, but we're now seeing more... You're right, we are seeing it more focused, and it's obviously targeting more civilians.
Yeah, but we're supposed to be a civilized, you know, this is supposed to be...
Yeah, the rules have gone out the window. The rules are...
Did the rules ever exist?
There is no civil stability left.
Did the rules ever exist? I think there was a day and age. I think this is what America thinks it is. At least there's a portion of America that thinks it is, that it's John Wayne. And that John Wayne guy knows there's rules, but these rules are just. And we're going to follow these rules, and we're going to keep quiet. And we're just, you know, but they're the right rules.
Sometimes
we live in a world where the rules are all wrong, where nobody obeys it anyway. Like, it, none of that's real. That's made for television, history book propaganda. Not real, not true. That's not the world we live in. We live in a world where the people you check your name next to in November turn around and vote to kill children. That's the world we live in.
And send your children and our children to do just
to
that.
Die for nothing. That's where we're at. So, support Saudi Arabia, don't support Saudi Arabia.
Well, Saudi Arabia has now dug their, it looks like they have dug their hole, they've made their bed, and you know, it's going to be interesting which direction they go, especially, you know, they've got a lot of turmoil they're facing, and you know, who knows, are they going to use this Yemen situation to rally their...
I'm curious to know if there is the internal conflict, if it gets to a boiling point within the Saudi royalty, and it gets to kind of, you know, I don't, maybe they'll go to violence. I don't know if they will to that level. It'll probably be all political. But how the United States aligns itself in the struggle, because typically if you look at history, the United States aligns itself with the dictator.
Right, suppressing the other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if not the first dictator, then certainly the second.
Correct.
Well, what I think is absurd is that people even ask me why I'm going to refuse to vote anymore. I don't vote because I cannot, in good conscience, actually vote for anybody that's going to perpetuate the war. And if somebody says, well, they're not going to do it as much as the next person, it's like, yes, they are, because that's how the system works. They're going to perpetuate war because our system runs on this military machine. That's how it makes money. That's how it generates income for the elites, for the wealthy people. That is how this system works. I do not care who goes into office. It does not matter to me. They say, if you don't vote, it's going to be somebody terrible. You know what? Whoever goes into office is terrible because they're going to perpetuate this war and this insanity and these absolutely absurd alliances with countries that behead people and crucify journalists. I can't do it.
And here's another crazy, crazy notion. And this is how hijacked and rigged it all is. Again, like I started the show with, go outside, see the world, and see life. Because this is some foolishness going on right now. You look at how the media portrays a Hillary Clinton, and you look at how the... Okay, completely two different candidates. Oh, this guy's this, and she's this, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, and then you look at their foreign policy. Just what Claire said, they get their consulting done by the exact same firm, gives them the exact same advice, and they do the exact same things. There's no difference. None. People are going to get bombed. American interests are going to be taken precise care for. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about anybody but themselves. The United States government knows this. And so what they do is they make you scared. Because you only do care about yourself at the end of the day. So when they implant that fear in you, you then go, since I care about myself, I don't care if you kill that guy. And if you kill 10 children while you're doing it, big deal. I'm still safe. America.
Collateral damage.
I'm telling you right what, I am walking proudly to the polls with my head hella high. I'm going to walk straight in. I'm going to smile at the lady and I'm going to give her my identification because in the state of Alabama you got to do so. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to draw back that curtain. And I'm going to go and I'm going to look down at that ballot. I'm going to look over all those choices. And right down there at the bottom where it says write-in candidate, Vermin Supreme has my vote. And if that man wins, he's going to give me a pony. Fucking pony.
Donald Trump's going to give you a wall.
Yeah. The only thing Bernie Supreme
Bernie's going to Bernie's gonna give me a free college education and $5 back. Free.
That's it. Think about all the stuff everybody's going to give you.
Yeah. I want a pony and that glitter.
I could do glitter. I'm with Vermin's policy on glitter.
Glitter bomb.
I don't know what I can do with the pony.
That's the only bomb that I can get behind.
I don't know what I can do with the pony.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know that not voting is going to give me a good conscience and a clean and have my hands free of being involved in perpetuating this war stuff.
Claire, people get so mad at me. So mad at me because I've never voted. Like, angry. Like, how dare you? How dare you have an opinion about stuff? Because you've never voted. Like, how dare you? It's like, are you serious? Like, do you even pay attention? Like, there's two elections, two in the history books that say, well, in modern times, that the candidate didn't win. Richard Nixon beat John Kennedy in 1960, and some boats went floating down a river in Illinois. And Al Gore beat George Bush in 2000, because his brother was a governor and some crazy stuff happened.
I will say this.
Two elections that everybody's like, yeah, we know they won, but.
That's when I finally discovered what a hanging chad was. Yeah. I thought that was something very...
Well, and there goes that opens up the conversation about the Electoral College, too, from my understanding. You know, that's where Bush actually won, and Al Gore, the polar ice cap should be completely melted by now. If we're not mistaken, was it this year, right? We just passed his anniversary where we're apparently...
Yeah, I think they're gone. I think we're drowning right
now. We're all underwater.
Call me Nemo.
He made his money. I know I ain't on. He actually brought to light some very important issues.
Carbon taxes. That's going to save the world, man.
That bearded baby out with the bathwater.
Hey, them carbon taxes are going to save you.
If you can't carry your own state,
if you pay, you know, if you pay money, you'll be sorry. You'll be safe. If you pay money, if you pay more money. See, Al Gore wants you to think that it's the environment. So if you pay your money towards those carbon taxes, you're going to be safe. The flip side of that is John McCain wants you thinking brown people are coming. You pay your money, and you're going to be safe. It's the exact same thing.
Fear, fear, fear.
That's it.
Neither one of them would kill me yet.
Yep. I'm here.
But for how long?
Yeah, that's a good question.
ISIS is going to pop up out of the bushes and they're going to have your head.
You know, that's a shame. I really think it amazes me how many people I believe, honestly, genuinely believe that a group of 20 or 30 black-clad, sandal-wearing individuals are going to pop out on a street somewhere while this person happens to be on the way to whoever with his gun in the back of his car.
Durga, durga.
Yeah, and you really have to explain to people. I have some friends, you know, they'll ask you about various subjects. What do you think about ISIS, man? You think we're going to have a war with ISIS here? I'm ready. I'm like, man, I don't really think it's going to go down like you think.
What do they think? Do they really think that there's ninjas coming out of the bushes?
Yeah.
Like, do people think that?
Well, if Trump says it, you know, if you ask a lot
well,
of
they've
Trump,
got
I
those.
I won't say everybody, but.
They've got those damn towers to lean every political ever fear-mongering thing ever in the world on. Because whatever happened there, they got away with. History's never going to revisit that. Not really. It's not. We may sit here and we may talk about it amongst ourselves and goes, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not exactly how they said that happened. History's not going to revisit that. It's not going to happen. Even McAfee said it when we had him on the show. It's like, okay, if you become president, and this guy that's just like, take care of business, it's like, okay, 28 pages, what would you do about that? He goes, I don't care because it was in the past. He wants to move forward. And that's fair enough. That's a fair enough answer. But they're going to get away with it. And they use it to do everything. Chris Christie gets in debates, presidential debates, and they'll ask him about what he thinks about the environment. And he'll go, well, I remember what I was doing on 9/11, and I looked up in the skies, and I thought those clouds didn't look too good. Like, that's what world we live in.
Well, what I can tell you what Hillary Clinton thinks about
this. Hillary Clinton thinks whatever is popular.
Oh, I know.
That's it.
Whatever is popular.
She literally
on her cue card.
Like, I'll give Bernie this. I don't want Bernie to be president. I don't want anyone to be president. But at least Bernie, like, has there's some structure to what he believes in, and there's kind of some history to that, the things that he's fought for. Hillary is just literally, y'all did a poll today, right? What do the people think? That's what I'm going for.
Right.
Like, that's her entire career. Whatever's the most popular, that's what she goes with.
They thought Mitt Romney was out of touch with America.
Yeah!
Why did they get a lot of her?
Oh, right.
I mean, it's kind of impressive. She's so phony and so fake.
Yeah.
Like, her husband, she goes out. And Claire, tell me what you think about this. She goes out. As Miss Feminist, I'm for women's rights. I love women. I love them. And we're going to protect them. And then somebody goes, your husband's been accused of rape multiple times. How do you feel about those women being victims? You're a monster for asking me that question. How dare you? That's Hillary Clinton.
You know, I'm speechless with the politicians anymore. It doesn't even matter what they say, because they're going to change what they say eventually anyway. They flip-flop, and it doesn't matter, because all they can ever think about is following the money. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter who they kill, who they piss off, how wrong they are, how morally incorrect they are. None of it matters. I mean, Hillary is a great example of that. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm so frustrated with politicians right now, and I'm beside myself.
And you know what, Claire? And here's a really, I guess frustrating is the word, but there's people like us that's just like, they're all games. It doesn't matter. These people still have a massive amount of influence, way more influence than what we have at this current time and date. So you have to at least entertain the idea that this is about to happen. These people are going to get some power that I don't want them to have. Like, how do we justify ignoring it when you know they're about to have control?
I think that I might have an answer for that, actually. My thought, and we talked about this last night on the show, I'm thinking that there could be a very effective tax boycott. I'm trying to work out the details, and I'd like to propose that, because there has to be a way around allowing these politicians to influence everything. We have to be able to influence something somehow. Obviously, the vote is not the way to do it. We can't pass the legislation ourselves. There has to be a way that we can influence what is going on. And the only thing that anybody listens to in politics or anything else is money. So hit them where it hurts.
And how do you propose we do this?
I haven't.
You've already got me. Count me in.
I'm working that out. I'm going to try to get as much information about it, what is actually feasible, how to actually make it effective. Instead of just talking about it, I'd like to actually make it happen. And I'm going to put it together for an article. My goal is Monday, but, you know, we'll have to see.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that Monday. I'll be looking for it.
You know, you would think in this day and age with so many subjects that we all have to be divided about, which we really should not be divided about, but with the powers that be, groups and interest and individuals and groups that have an interest in seeing us divided, you would think at this point in time that a tax revolt of some sort would be the one issue that we could hopefully all come together and coalesce on. Hopefully. Anyway.
And that's the trick, is getting everybody together, because again, just like the people that will chastise you for not going to the polls and exercising your right, you know, you're going to see a lot of that. Well, why do I not want to support my government? My government, my America, my nation, you know, wave your little flag, and there'll be a country song about it, I'm sure, about the time that those crazy people tried to revolt against the taxes and You know, we have that segment of society, i.e. Trump supporters, that are going to go completely the other way with it. And that's the bad part about it, is that we're always going to have that faction to contend with when we try to discuss ideas like this about how we can actually seriously make a change. Because what would change things on a vast, a vast scope, depending on how large you could get it. I mean, you get half the spending population in America involved. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. We forgot about y'all. What? Let me see. How can we cater y'all's needs?
You know, historically, the right has really kind of owned the tax revolt bandwagon, at least to factions of it.
And they've done what about it again?
Yeah, very little. Well, I will say this, that we probably wouldn't be talking about the feasibility of a tax revolt had we not had some of the older various tax movements, Irwin Schiff.
What was the Judge Napolitano quote? We had a revolution in this country when taxes were at
3%. 3%, right?
See, the thing, I mean, the idea of the tax, nobody likes taxes. I mean, you know, even patriotic people in this country don't like taxes. My thought is, like you were saying, this really is an issue that people could come together on. If nothing else, but for the simple fact of hating taxes. Because I've been struggling with this whole, all the wars that are going on right now, because I just keep seeing all these atrocities, and a lot of them, you know, we're just gaining enemies, and the people overseas assume that we're all like that, just like a lot of people in this country assume all the people over there are the enemy. And it's ridiculous, and it's absurd, and I'm tired of it. So I've been looking for a solution, and the only thing that I've ever come up with, that we've all come up with, that seems to be feasible, is this kind of tax revolt. It just seems like there could be possibility there. So
I think that's actually a great, great idea, and I think it's where we could start as a people. I do think that the fear becomes this all-encompassing thing. I think it's a great idea. But people, they could do it if they knew everybody was doing it. But what I'm afraid of is you're going to look at your neighbor and he's going to go, I'm not doing it. And you're going to look at your neighbor and he goes, I'm not doing it. And everybody's like, okay, we're in this together. And they're like, oh, I don't trust if he's going to do it or not. I'm just going to go and pay him.
Well, see, the thing that's beautiful about this, and I, like I said, I have to look into this. It's going to be, I have to really research this. But I think that there would be different degrees to which people could participate as well.
Right.
You know, so this kind of seems like it has the possibility, the potential to be a little bit of something for everybody.
Now, what do you think about the bleeding heart Zombernies over there that are just like, we should pay, you know, 90% taxes and dole it back out? How do you rectify them that are going to shame you for not paying taxes?
I'm over it. I understand because the way that the structure is right now, nobody's getting anything except for the people at the very top. So it's understandable that people want to have huge tax rates so that everybody can kind of live on equal ground and at least have basic rights. That makes sense. I get that. But that's not working. That won't work, and being taxed very little won't work because everybody ends up poor that way too. I mean, nothing is working. We have to start fixing this somehow, and I just look at this election, and I'm like, I'm so disgusted with what the candidates are, what they're saying, for one thing, the level of education that they seem to be displaying, for another, and I'm just tired of it. It's like, if we don't start acting now and doing something, it's just going to keep going, and it's going to keep getting worse every year. I mean, I hate to see what the 2020 election is going to look like. I really do.
Well, Kanye's already announced, so that's good. And
that's good. I feel better.
Well, Kokesh, to peaceably dissolve the federal government by 2020.
Did Kokesh announce?
I don't know to what extent. I've heard that platform mentioned.
He's definitely been very active.
I'll leave that there. Do you know that there's a part of me that believes that the United States economically needs, I think that we're so bankrupt at this point, like financially, forget morally, spiritually, everything else you want to talk about. We're like literally, we're bankrupt, and they just keep printing money, printing money. QE infinity, like inflation has destroyed the value of the dollar. So there's a part of me that believes, like, the reason we're always at war is, like, we actually have to have that to sustain what we have. And, like, there's part of me that thinks that these monsters are, like, in their own minds doing the right thing to themselves because they're going, well, we're going to go kill all these people, but we're going to keep our lifestyle the same here. Like, we have to have the machine because we're that far down. It's not like, you know, we came off of war, World War II, huge economic boom, and we just saw this prosper, you know, this economic, you know, prosper situation, and now it's, we're just getting by, and yet we're still, we're just kind of in constant war, because I feel like maybe they want to drag us into this grand war and live off of that for a while, because it's so, but they figured out we can just, it's like tap water, just dripping down the sink. That's kind of what I feel like they've done to the economy, which is kind of stay at war. No, go ahead.
We're going to be forced into figuring out things economically very shortly, at least if things play out the way that they've been looking. I mean, stock markets around the world today were in tatters, and partly because of China and their, you know, at least China had the circuit breaker system in place, which arguably kind of created the mess, but they're not going to have it tomorrow. So all their investors and their traders are going to freak out tomorrow without the circuit breakers in place, and their market very likely could go in a free fall, which will, of course, set off things again around the world. So we're very much looking at
But here's the thing, Claire. Like, really, that's the same as the elections. There's somebody that's got a switch somewhere. They can stop the flood whenever they want.
Well, the money's going to go somewhere. It's going to, you know, every time another market goes down, to my surprise, you know,
when it goes, it's gonna go by design,
right.
And it's not gonna be known to us. But there's gonna be some people that have constructed something within the inner workings of our economy and how we're still floating.
Well, the plunge protection team, you know, they're working overboard to try. I'm sure to
when they let it go, they're gonna push the button to release the dam, and they're gonna be prepared for it.
Well, you know, the Fed's got that doomsday book supposedly that has a. What they're supposed to do in times of you would wonder even if we are in those times and maybe if they're not exactly using the playbook, so to speak, right now.
I think I think people think there's a. I don't know if there's necessarily a playbook.
I don't know if you're familiar with what I'm talking. We'll talk about it later, but it's actually a.
Who doesn't have a playbook? That's Bernie Supreme. I'm about confidence, y'all.
Hey, I've heard about them ponies for a while. That's coming from somewhere.
Well, he's not been elected yet.
It wasn't from Nick Saban, so somebody had to write that playbook.
We got to elect the man first before we get the ponies. You just can't just go in there and start demanding free ponies. It's a process.
They'll never let him get there, man. He's too much of a man of the people. They'll kill him before he has a chance.
Well, he's got that boot on his head, so they better not go for the headshot.
Right. So Claire, what's the point? What are we doing?
I don't know.
I love how my negativity is so infectious.
Yeah, I think we just probably need to end the show a couple minutes early, go cut the DVR on, go watch some wrestling.
But I think it. Vince McMahon is waiting on us. And people are all embroiled in talking about Donald Trump. And ironically, for people like Vince McMahon, that's stupid. Yeah, the guy that most people are voting for president right now has literally been on that show multiple times.
Yes.
And has played the exact same character on a fake wrestling show as he is running for president. And that's where we're going to leave you tonight. I thank Claire. I thank Kevin. I thank Shannon. Anti-Media Radio. This is it for beginning of 2016. We got a lot of year left. SM Gibson, Anti-Media.
Peace out.
Later, Gator. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.